Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGMU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear how the coronavirus has been especially deadly in prisons, jails and immigration detention facilities around the US. We'll hear from a local advocacy organisation that has been calling for more transparency at the GEO ICE Detention Centre in Aurora. Then, many immigrants have been completely excluded from the federal relief during the pandemic. We'll hear some local stories on the impact that's having. We'll round out this morning's magazine with Trends Diary, a project of the Community Foundation of Boulder County. Today, we'll hear about volunteer efforts to make face masks during the pandemic. At 8:30, Duncan Campbell is your host for Connections. His guest today is Lisa Graves, Senior Fellow and former Executive Director of the Centre for Media and Democracy. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Governor Jared Polis said Thursday that he anticipates that restaurants will be able to reopen statewide by the middle or the end of next week under guidelines that his office is planning to finalise over the weekend. Colorado Politics reports that Polis discussed the plans during an online town hall with restaurant owners. Some of the guidelines that have already been drafted by the state include allowing limited indoor seating in restaurants with tables being spaced 10 feet apart. Restaurants would be encouraged to create more outdoor seating in areas like sidewalks or parking lots in accordance with local planning regulations. Restaurants would have to take the temperature of every employee before shifts begin, and anyone showing symptoms of COVID-19 would be required to stay home. Parties would be limited to 6 diners or less, and employees would be required to wear face masks and gloves when interacting with customers and handling food. A recent survey by the Colorado Restaurant Association estimates that the industry lost an estimated $975 million in April. With Memorial Day weekend coming up, Governor Polis is asking people to recreate close to home and to continue to practice social distancing. The city of Boulder has said that it will partially reopen some outdoor recreation services. The park-to-park shuttle will begin its service to Chautauqua on May 23rd. The city says that the shuttle has implemented safety measures to help prevent the community spread of COVID-19. These include larger, full-sized buses to be used to allow for social distancing. Only 10 riders will be allowed on the bus at any time. Passengers will enter at the rear door and face coverings will be required for all passengers. Boulder Reservoir will open on a very limited basis, only to boat and small watercraft permit holders and those with existing reservations. The Rocky Mountain National Park says it plans to increase recreational access and services on May 27th. Some campgrounds will partially reopen in early June. Trail Ridge Road will remain closed until further noticed. In an effort to curb the number of tourists who could potentially spread the novel coronavirus. It's been about 2 months since the Mesa Verde National Park closed due to concerns of the coronavirus spread, but as Daniel Rizel reports, a phased reopening will begin this Sunday.
Visitors will be able to drive up to Overlooks to view the park's famous cliff dwellings, but group tours in them remain suspended. Some facilities like the visitor center will stay closed while trails in the campground open up. The announcement said those traveling through the nearby Navajo Nation to visit the park need to respect the nation's health orders, including its nightly curfew and checkpoints. Mesa Verde has recorded about 500,000 visitors or more each year since 2014. In Cortez, I'm Daniel Rizel.
Denver is opening a new drive-up COVID-19 testing site today. Mayor Michael Hancock said during a Thursday afternoon news conference that the goal is to make sure everyone who needs testing is able to get it. And he said no one will ask about citizenship status. Steve Miller reports that this will be the state's largest free community testing site.
Coloradans need to check the symptom tracker on the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's website to see if they are displaying symptoms of COVID-19. You then must register online and bring a document verifying your name. Those that qualify can get tested at the Pepsi Center in Denver from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Denver residents who are physically unable to make it to the testing site can call 311 to have a mobile unit sent to help. Health officials in Aurora and Westminster also announced the opening of two free testing sites. All testing centers will be closed on holidays, including Memorial Day. For more information on the drive-up testing site or to make a reservation, go to denvergov.org. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Several schools in the St. Vrain Valley School District held car parades for students on Thursday, which was the last day of the school year. In Longmont and Lyons, cars with students and their families made their way around schools while teachers waved from the sidewalks. Niwot High seniors and their families are holding a car parade to honour the class of 2020 this afternoon at 4. The procession will begin at Niwot High School and then travel west. Highs today and tomorrow close to 80 degrees, cooling off Saturday night and into Sunday though with rain and thunderstorms in the forecast. Highs on Sunday and Monday in the 60s. The coronavirus has been especially deadly in prisons, jails and immigration detention centres around the US. Keeping people confined in close spaces has made it easy for the virus to spread. Public health experts have called for releasing large numbers of community members to avoid a significant loss of life, but the Immigration Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has failed to do so. Epidemiological models estimate that at least 70% of people who are detained by ICE could contract the virus. Another model warns that overall, mass incarceration could lead to an additional 100,000 COVID-19 deaths in the US. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Anna Rodriguez, who's with the Colorado People's Alliance, one of several groups that's been raising awareness about the vulnerability of the immigrants who are being held at the GO ICE Immigration Detention Center in Aurora.
So what we are seeing is in not just immigrant detention centers, but also prisons and jails, there are huge numbers of cases of COVID in these sorts of facilities. And it's exactly because it's impossible to follow social distancing guidelines in these cells. It's impossible for people to stay 6 feet apart in their cells where they're placed the majority of the time. And when they're in communal areas, it's very difficult to keep areas sanitized. Unfortunately, we often hear from people in detention centers that they're not provided the adequate equipment. They run out of soap. They run out of disinfectants. And actually, hand sanitizer is banned in these facilities. And so these create the perfect conditions as to why this sort of virus can spread at huge numbers. Here in Colorado, it's very concerning because Sterling Jail has had over 400 cases of COVID, confirmed cases of COVID in that facility. And we're seeing similar numbers across the country. And like I mentioned before, when a facility like this has an uncontrolled spread of the virus, it's horrible for the people who are in these facilities because they're vulnerable. They can't rely on, you know, high quality medical care. The medical facilities that exist in these detention centers are quite simply inadequate. And again, it exposes the systemic issue that exists in these sorts of facilities, especially those that are for profit. Unfortunately, the facility that is in Aurora is run by the GO Corporation. This is a for-profit corporation that has made $2 billion in profits last year alone out of separating families and keeping people in these conditions. And the way they're able to make those billions of dollars off of the suffering of the immigrants in their care is by cutting corners wherever they can. They cut corners on how much staff they have, so they're constantly understaffed. There's only one single medical doctor for the entire facility. When there's full capacity in that facility, there's 1,500 people there. Those are the numbers that we were seeing just a few months ago. Now, during this crisis, because of community pressure, we pressured ICE to lower the number of people in detention centers. And now the number in our own facility is hovering around 600 or so people. But even then, one doctor for those 600 people is not enough. And what we also know is that this one doctor is not even there full time. The majority of the time, the medical professionals seeing immigrants in their care are nurses. And sometimes these are nurses that maybe have had issues in their past and they can't get hired anywhere else. But typically, these for-profit and detention facilities have lower standards for their medical professionals than anywhere else. And so we know they're not getting adequate medical care.
Would you also speak about, in these detention centers, the majority of the people are people of color, and they are at this moment being the ones that are the most affected by COVID-19?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, people of color, including Latinx immigrants, African Americans, and African immigrants and Asian immigrant communities have been disproportionately impacted by this virus. We see this in our own communities because of the lack of investment in our communities and the historical lack of access to medical care, and many other factors that put our family members at risk. But we're also seeing that in these detention centers and in jails, our communities have also been over-policed. Our communities have also been over-jailed and placed in these detention centers. So we're seeing that immigrants from all over the country that are held in these small detention centers are at higher risk now. And it's another thing that's also international. So what's happening too is these immigrants from all over the world sometimes contract the virus and are then deported when they're sick. They might not be showing symptoms in some cases, but they are being deported to home countries that are often lack the necessary infrastructure because of years of political turmoil, because of natural disasters. For example, Guatemala and Haiti, immigrants have been deported to these countries in these past couple of weeks when the pandemic is really going everywhere. And so what happens is people who are sick are being deported to these countries where now these countries are being further exposed to this virus. And unfortunately, often there is not the medical infrastructure necessary to have a handle on this situation. So it's not just unfair and unethical for sick people to be deported. It's also unethical to be deporting sick people to countries that might not be ready to handle their care and to stop the spread.
So I have been speaking with Ana Rodriguez. She is from the Colorado People's Alliance. ICE Detention Center refused to accept the KN95 face masks from Medical Professions and Human Rights Organization. And these were supposed to be to protect them, to protect the detainees there that really need the protection.
Right now, we are also pressuring ICE to release the test results of an immigrant that's in their care. His name is Oscar Perez Aguirre. He was detained and transferred to the GEO Detention Center last Friday with a fever. And his family and his attorney believe he may have COVID. They were supposed to have gotten the test results back days ago, but they have not released the results. His family needs answers. And as a community, we need transparency. What this lack of transparency is showing us is that ICE and GEO, once again, are not being held accountable to the lack of medical care. The other issue is that Oscar has not even received fever-reducing medication when he is so sick. This is a disgusting display of the lack of care they have for immigrant lives in their care. We will continue to organize to hold this detention center accountable and to hold ICE accountable for their lack of transparency and to push them to be transparent with our community, because Oscar's family deserves to know what is happening, and so do we. We are calling on our congressional elected officials to put pressure on ICE for this transparency and for us to know, is this a COVID case or not, so that they can take further actions to protect the people in their care. We are also pushing the state of Colorado to pass a state legislation that will bring all immigrant detention centers of Colorado under the state's control and jurisdiction, because right now, we can't rely on our state agencies to be able to inspect these facilities because they simply don't have that authority right now. And we want to push to give them that authority so that when things like this are happening, we have the state to be able to inspect and bring more transparency on what is happening. So I invite our community to be aware that this is happening in our own backyard. Our immigrant neighbors are being treated inhumanely in Aurora, Colorado, and we must take action to protect them and to prevent this detention center from becoming a death camp. So I urge everyone whose heart is touched by this to find Colorado People's Alliance on Facebook, find AFSC, our partner organization that we've been working on this huge campaign with, and join us in taking action. Our Facebook pages are one of the best places to keep in touch with what is happening, and the first place you will be able to see any action alerts that you can join us in taking action. We may be supporting this family in further pushing for accountability and transparency, and that's where you will find that information on how you can support Oscar and his family.
That was Ana Rodriguez with Colorado People's Alliance. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo.
Since that interview yesterday, it has been confirmed that Mr. Perez Aguirre does indeed have COVID-19, and another immigrant at the GEO Detention Center in Aurora has also tested positive. Well, the plight of immigrants being held at that detention centre in Aurora was also under discussion during a telephone press conference that was held on Thursday to raise awareness about the lack of federal assistance for many immigrants during the pandemic. Representative Jason Crow from Aurora was one of the elected officials on yesterday's call. He spoke about the legislation that's needed right now to support immigrants.
Every human deserves to be treated with the same human decency and dignity, regardless of their status or who they are, or their background, or what brought them here. And that's ultimately what my transparency and accountability efforts have been about. We passed the POD Act last December, the Public Oversight and Detention Centers Act, which came out of my own frustrations with not being able to gain access to the detention center and being repeatedly turned away. I thought that was wrong. So we actually drafted a law and passed it. So now for the first time, it's now federal law that everywhere in the country, every member of Congress and his or her staff has to have access, immediate access to these ICE, CBP, and HHS detention centers, because transparency and accountability and shining light on what's happening in our communities matter. Number two, we implemented the first in the country oversight model where we do weekly oversight visits, and we created a checklist based on the national detention standards that drive that oversight. We will continue to do that, albeit not in person, given the stay-at-home measures, but we will continue to drive that oversight, particularly in light of the news that just came out about our first two positive COVID cases in the detention center. We're gonna be pushing hard to make sure that ICE nationally, as well as locally, is making sure that they are getting the medical care and following the procedures that they need to follow to ensure the health and safety of the detainees, the staff, and to our broader community. Lastly, we passed the HEROES Act last week on Friday, and it has some really important provisions. It ensures that Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education cannot discriminate against and cannot prevent our DACA recipients and DREAMers from accessing important education benefits. It extends benefits to I-10 holders, because it's just not right that as we try to address this recovery, that I-10 holders and those without Social Security numbers cannot have access to recovery that they desperately need for them and their families, because we will recover as a community or we won't recover well at all.
The HEROES Act mentioned there by Congressman Crow could give some type of relief for thousands and thousands of mixed status families in the country who've been completely cut out of federal assistance during the pandemic. Elena Silva is the mother in one such family. The restaurant owner from Denver shared the impact that that has had on her and her children.
By specific and targeted design, stimulus money was withheld from over 15 million people living in mixed status families. Families like mine are left without support. With a father trying to revive our restaurant and a mother trying to work from home while pleading with my one-year-old and three-year-old to give me a little bit of space while I do this press conference for you all. It also affects over 3.7 million other children like mine, whose families are being penalized and denied support. This lays bare a grave hypocrisy in our tax system, that we ask of new immigrants to pay into a tax system if they are to ever have hope for citizenship, yet deny them support from the very system that they faithfully paid into. This also violates the civil rights of American citizens like myself, who choose to marry and file taxes jointly with their immigrant spouses. No one should face discrimination based on who they love. I worry that uncorrected, this sets a dangerous precedent with untold consequences ahead. I worry about the future for my children, growing up in a mixed status family with two parents that love them dearly, but a government that deems them unworthy of support. And I worry about the millions of others affected by this cruel provision, and I pray that our leaders correct it quickly. Though passion may have strained our debate on immigration issues as a whole, we must not let it break our bonds of affection and respect for our neighbors. Not now and not ever. Not when children grow hungry because their parents have lost their jobs, and not when we recognize that help is so badly needed to hold on. I stand with Congressman Crow, and I urge the Senate and Senator Cory Gardner to adopt the HEROES Act and end this discrimination against immigrants and families like my own.
Those were some of the voices from a telephone press conference that took place on Thursday to raise awareness of the lack of any federal aid for many immigrants during the COVID-19 pandemic. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Don't forget, you can subscribe to a podcast of the show. Listen anytime to local headlines, stories and interviews. Just search for KGNU wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, it's time for Trends Diary.
Time now for Trends Diary, where Boulder County residents of all ages share personal experiences that relate to a pressing community need. The focus for now is on our shared need to connect and solve problems, despite the increased isolation we're all experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. This project is brought to you in partnership with Community Foundation Boulder County.
Dear Trends Diary, I'm Karen Hoskin, and I'm going to read my story, Sewing Masks for Neighbors. I live in Wild Sage Co-Housing in North Boulder. There are a few of us in the community that sew, and there are people who have fabric stashes. We created a sewing circle following recommended rules. 6 or fewer people at a time, spaced 6 feet apart, and no guests, only community members. We did a production line. We're not going shopping. We're using the resources we have. We've sewed about 25 to 30 masks so far. The first plan was to make enough for everyone in the community. One of our residents' wife volunteers at the shelter. I made her a mask, and she got some comments from people she was serving there. And I had a dream about handing masks out to unhoused people, so it seemed meant to be. I took a half dozen masks and gave them to the folks on the streets by the shelter. Co-housing is a hedge against isolation and loneliness. We've been doing social distancing happy hours, now with our masks. We've been able to check in on one another, celebrate birthdays, help each other. We are not social distancing, we are physically distancing, but staying socially connected. Not everyone can create the classic co-housing community, but you absolutely can take the secret sauce and spread it on all kinds of neighborhoods. One of the main ingredients is knowing your neighbors, saying hi, being an observer of someone who is in danger of being isolated. Just be a neighbor. When you're going out to your car or checking your mail, say, I'm going to the store later. Do you need anything? I have an Instacart account. Do you want me to order you something? We continue to use fabric, including old denim jeans donated from community members. We have made over 100 masks and given dozens to people that are currently unhoused. We are stronger together. We are Wild Sage.
Feeling inspired? Do you have your own story of making connections or solving problems during this time of physical isolation? Then visit www.commfound.org. Look for Trends Diary and share your experience with Community Foundation Boulder County. Your submission could wind up on these KGNU airwaves.
Thanks for listening to The Morning Magazine here on KGNU. And happy birthday to all involved with KGNU, as today we celebrate our 42nd birthday. We're only here because of our community and our community support. So thank you to everyone for your support over the past four decades.